Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report, broadcast on WVOX AM 1460 and heard around the world on WVOX.com. This is Jack McGuirk along with Ken Kratzer bringing you this half hour of discussion about issues related to veterans and the active military. Now here's Ken.
Hey, thanks, Jack, and good afternoon, everyone listening to the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report. John Churan is traveling back from covering the auto race out at Phoenix, so he'll be back with us next week. And very sad news to pass along locally, member of American Legion Post 50 for many, many years, Chief Patrick Mancuso passed away. I just got that news this morning, and he had been well-known for involvement in many community activities in Pelham. He was coach of my Little League baseball team years and years ago. He was a fire chief in Pelham, and he was a World War II Navy veteran. In fact, he worked at Pearl Harbor repairing some of the battleships that were destroyed on December 7th. And then he also worked at Arlington National Cemetery after World War II, which he said was a very difficult job when they interred many soldiers and sailors and airmen from World War II. So our condolences go out to Chief Patrick Mancuso's family. I went to school with a number of his sons, and we will miss him. He was a very fine, community-minded veteran and a member of American Legion Post 50. Now, Jack, today we have a special guest, which I talked to this morning from West Point, Brigadier General Tim Traynor, about a number of distinguished visitors they've had at West Point and a couple of their upcoming projects. And this is Ken Kratzer here on the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report here on WVOX 1460 Neuchâtel, New York, and being heard worldwide on WVOX.com. And we have the pleasure of talking today from West Point, Brigadier General Timothy E. Traynor, who is the 13th Dean of the Academic Board at West Point. General Traynor, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks. Thanks again for chatting with me.
Well, John, we appreciate your time today, and you've had a number of distinguished visitors to West Point since the first of the year, and one that had quite a historical significance both for our country and for you personally, and that was a visit in January of a number of the 1980 Iranian hostages who were released early that year and visited West Point right after their release. Tell us a little bit about the welcome that you were able to give them in January.
Yes, Ken, this was a tremendous opportunity for West Point to welcome home the former Iranian hostages. And it was special for me for twofold purposes. One, I got to greet them as the official West Point greeter, but also I was a cadet during that time when they came through here in 1981. It was a group for the reunion. It was a group of former hostages, their family members, but there were also some members of the rescue team that were present also. And these folks, they came through here in 1981. The government, U.S. government, was looking for a place where the Iranian hostages could reintegrate with their families. That was kind of away from the mainstream, and so when they flew them from Germany, they brought them into Stewart Air Force Base in Newburgh, and then brought them down here, and they met their families and integrated with their families in the hotel there, right on here on the post of West Point. And then we had we greeted them. I remember doing what we called a cordon, where we had all cadets were outside, and they drove the buses through between us. And we just, I just remember being cadet trainer back in 1981, welcoming them and cheering them on, and then again cheering them on in the mess hall. And that was very special. And then to see them come back here, back to the hotel there for their reunion, they went through a cordon of all our cadets here, and that was special for me because now another cadet trainer, my daughter Corey, was in that cordon. She's a yearling here at West Point, and so talk about connections, and then I got to formally greet them and welcome them. And they spent time speaking to our cadets, ate lunch in the mess hall with them. They taught some classes with our faculty and cadets. So it was really a tremendous honor for us to welcome back again these heroes of a former era.
Absolutely. And maybe for our listeners, you explain what a yearling is.
A yearling is a sophomore here at West Point.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, that was certainly a pivotal event in American history, right at the time where President Reagan was inaugurated, that the release occurred. What were some of the questions that today's cadets had of the former hostages from that 1980-1981 period?
Well, I realize it was, as you said, it was a very different era, Ken. Back then, let me start. Our cadets today are very familiar, as we all are, with a world that's full of religious and ethnic tension and extremism. And that was... It was just, you know, really in its early nascent stages back then in the 1979. It was may have been America's first big exposure to religious extremism, and so the cadets here were very interested in hearing the experiences of the Iranian hostages, what they did day to day while they were hostages, and then how they maintained their composure and maintain their sanity over that long period of isolation and captivity they had.
So it must have been a lot of satisfaction for you to be able to host these visits of these heroic Americans today after you personally welcomed them home back in 1981.
Yes, definitely, Ken. It was very special for me and also for all of us here at West Point.
Well, on Friday, you had a very special guest, and we're very fortunate to be able to talk to you about this, the visit to West Point of Defense Secretary Robert Gates. And I know he taught in some of the classes, and he gave a well-documented address to all the cadets. I believe was that at lunch lunchtime?
Yeah, yes, it was right after lunch. He came up here in the morning. He taught two different classes, two-hour-long classes in political science, one on the subject of China and Russia and their impact on the world economy, and then another class in political science to a different group of cadets on homeland defense and security procedures and processes and structure. And the classes were very well received. The cadets were engaged in that. The secretary then had lunch with the cadets in the mess hall, and then and then gave his talk right after lunch down at our Eisenhower Hall, and it was quite an experience, and a very, very interesting talk, talking about not just what he saw as the future that our cadets will face out in the Army, but also what he thought how they need to think about their development in the future to meet the changing needs of the world and the Army and our nation.
And that's chatting with Brigadier General Timothy E. Traynor, the academic dean at West Point. And we had a chance to, that's the first half of our interview. We'll have a little bit more with General Traynor after the break. This is on the Sons of the American Legion radio report. And I'm very glad to have Jack McGurk here with me today. And there's our music. So we'll be back in just a second for the second half of our interview with Brigadier General Tim Traynor from West Point and some other news and development regarding the military and veterans.
This is the Sons of the American Legion radio report, broadcast on WVOX AM 1460 and heard around the world on WVOX.com. Coming up is the second half of our interview with Brigadier General Timothy Traynor of West Point. But first, here's Ken.
Hey, thanks, Jack. And yes, we have Brigadier General Timothy Traynor, the academic dean at West Point. And we have a couple of questions for him about the visit, Defense Secretary Gates to West Point, and also a couple of other events coming up at West Point.
Yes, he was, and I think he was referring to how both in Iraq and Afghanistan, going in there, we have had to remain engaged in there for many years in order to help reestablish an effective government in there, government and infrastructure and services to help the people, and that's, you know, there is a great cost in that when we go in with a large formation and cause such change in the world. It is a national level effort for our country when we go in to Iraq or Afghanistan and then spend years. And I think he was referring to the need to help reestablish an effective government and infrastructure in the country.
And he mentioned about that the Army and the rest of the government must focus on capabilities that can prevent festering problems from growing into full-blown crises, which require costly and controversial large-scale American military intervention. Now, this must, and we see this all the time in talking to people in the military and in particular the Army, all the different roles that the Army is called to play in today, and also the sensitivity to the cultures of the countries that, that you do go out and serve in.
Yes, he did talk about the need for continued development of our cadets and officers in terms of their cultural expertise and foreign language expertise, and we're well on a path on that, and we have a good program here at West Point to start, but it doesn't end here. He was encouraging our officers to continue their own personal and professional development in that area, because they're going to likely serve in many different environments around the world in their careers.
And how do the cadets react to a visit? They seem to, at West Point, have many extraordinary opportunities to meet leaders of our country. President Obama spoke at West Point not long ago. This sounds like a great opportunity for the cadets to learn firsthand from the military leadership.
Yeah, I think the cadets really appreciate getting that high-level view from our top leaders in our government and our military. And I think what's really special is that time that the Secretary spent down teaching classes. And that is when they have the opportunity to engage, because we're talking small classes, 15 to 18 cadets in a class with the Secretary of Defense, without anybody else looking over their shoulders in a class. And that is really special when they get that kind of close exposure to the Secretary of Defense. But even in the full briefing he gave to the entire Corps of Cadets, it was very well received, because they hear straight from the senior leadership what they think the environment is going to look like in the future, what their Army is going to look like 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now.
And when you mention continuing education, you have a very interesting conference coming up at West Point, March 30th to the 1st. 2011 Global Leadership Conference that's going to be held at the Thayer Hotel at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. We had the pleasure of talking with Colonel Bernard Banks from your Department of Behavioral Sciences and Leadership a couple of weeks ago on that. Sounds like it's going to be an extraordinary opportunity for not just military leaderships, but leaders of public companies and also other service organizations to come together and learn from each other.
Yes, it's called the Global Leader Conference, as you said, and I think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for our cadets, our faculty, and folks around the world from both industry, from the private sector, from the public sector, from non-governmental and non-profit organizations to come together and talk about leadership. And one of the key things we're doing here is bringing in folks from the outside. Our cadets, our faculty get exposed to many great leaders and speakers on leadership within the military and within the government. What we're trying to do is expose them to folks on the outside. So, for example, one of our keynote speakers is Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great and follow-on works. And so folks like that are going to be coming in and speaking in order to set the tone for some of the discussions down there. But the intent is to bring folks from many different sectors together to talk about leadership, because leadership is not specific the sole domain of the military.
Oh, certainly, and so that looks like a great event. March 30th to April 1st at West Point. On Saturday night, I had the pleasure of going out to a military ball at the University of Scranton ROTC program, an event that was run by Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Remley. And the guest speaker was the United States Military Academy graduate, Colonel Reese Turner, who is currently serving at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And a very impressive program there. I was just going to ask you, how would you compare the education a cadet receives at West Point versus the education that is received in the ROTC programs around the country?
Well, first of all, our ROTC programs do a wonderful job producing leaders for our Army, just like West Point does. And so with very necessary component to developing leaders for our country, because West Point only provides about 20% of the commissioning base each year. So the ROTC programs provide about 40 to 50% of the commissioned officers that are assessed into the Army each year. And so the ROTC programs do a tremendous job. What is really different between West Point and the ROTC programs is that we're able to integrate all their development across many, many different programs and domains. So we focus on developing leaders of character for the future, and we're able to integrate what we do both academically with what the cadets do militarily, with what the cadets do physically, with what they do in the moral ethical domain. And at West Point, we take that holistic perspective that a future leader of character for our Army needs to be developed across all those different domains as part of their overall education. And it's so we can do that holistically here at the Military Academy, whereas in the ROTC programs, they don't have that. They struggle a bit in doing that because while they may have a great academic programs, they're not necessarily integrated with the military training they try to do for the ROTC cadets and also their physical development.
And one thing that was very noticeable in talking with the instructors and the officers at that event is that they all had spent time overseas on various deployments. And I know you were deployed to Iraq in the summer of 2007. And we talk with a West Point grad quite often. We did during the football season, Colonel Sam Houston, who was preparing for another deployment. He graduated from West Point in the late 1980s. As the mission in Iraq is tending to wind down, what are your thoughts about your service and hopefully the legacy that the Army is leaving there?
Well, I think in terms of the legacy that the Army is leaving there, I think the what I hope the legacy will be is that we can put in place and establish a government that is that is based on the rule of law, that people respect the rule of law and the government respects the rule of law in caring for the people and in helping bring Iraq forward into the 21st century and help them develop their governance structures, their legal structures, their community services and systems that can help bring that country forward and treat people with mutual respect. And I'm hoping that that is what the legacy our Army leaves, is that we've established an environment in which people respect the rule of law and respect each other, and the government respects respects the people and governs for the people, not necessarily govern through domination and fear.
Sure. Hey, we just really want to thank you for your service to our country and your service on deployments, as well as all of the members of the U.S. military that have gone overseas in recent years to serve in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And just any closing thoughts about events coming up at West Point this spring?
We just have a number of events. A lot of our cadets are going out during the upcoming spring break in the second week of March. They're going to go around the world to different countries to get to expand upon their cultural and foreign language experiences and competence. And as you mentioned, we've got the Global Leader Conference coming up. And, of course, we've got our big projects day coming up near the end of April, where our seniors present their senior design work to folks from the outside. And we've got some other universities coming in to present at that also. And that's just prior to graduation, which, of course, is the culmination of a great 4 years here at the Academy for our seniors.
Well, Brigadier General Timothy E. Traynor, we appreciate your joining us today here on the Sons of the American Legion Report on WVOX. Thank you for all you do, and we'll look forward to getting back in touch and hearing about some of those projects up at West Point.
Thanks, Ken. You have a great day.
You too, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And again, our thanks to Brigadier General Tim Traynor, the academic dean up at West Point. And I just wanted to thank Jack McGurk. I know you were up at Montrose helping to entertain veterans last week. Thank you very much. This is Ken Kratzer for the Sons of the American Legion Report.
We have ways.